I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It could be the greatest deal in history. They could wave the white flag of surrender. They could say, we surrender, we're finished, we've had it. The United States is the greatest power. Praise be to Allah. And they could do all of this. They could say it loud and clear. And the fake news would say it was a great victory for Iran. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. We're killing them. It's killing them. They have no Navy. They have no Air Force. They have no anti-aircraft. You know, we're flying planes over the middle of Tehran, and they don't have no idea what we're there. We've knocked out all of their radar, all of their anti-aircraft, much of their missiles. They have probably less than 20%, we think about 20%. Most of their launchers, have the missile launchers, which are quite important. Their drone capacity is way down. You see it. I mean, it's way down. Their attacks are very minor. They're finished.
They are finished. President Trump earlier today talking about he's warning Tehran as of this morning, the U.S.'s military is poised to attack Iran, quote, all caps, very hard tonight. Not exactly saying when nor where. But I'm sure the Iranians are aware of what they have in position because the oil infrastructure points are certainly in line. Targeted operation to assume total control of Iran's oil and gas markets. That would include Karg Island. Karg Island is their main terminal for exporting and importing oil. It's about 15 to 20 miles off the mainland coast of Iran in the northern Persian Gulf. It's 300 to 400 miles northwest of the Strait of Hormuz. Now, let me drill down on something here. When Iran is claiming the Strait of Hormuz belongs to them, it's their territory, it is international waters. Here is the way it is described for nations and their territorial waters. Territorial waters are those waters extending up to 12 nautical miles from the coastal nation's baseline. 12 miles. Karg Island, as we're pointing out here, is 300 to 400 miles northwest of the Strait of Hormuz and only 15 miles from Iran. So it is a hell of a long ways from the Strait of Hormuz, which Iran claims is our water and we can control it. And we've continued to escort ships through there at risk, but we're doing it. And we're only firing on Iran up to this point in defensive measures. That is changing tonight based on what Trump is suggesting at this point. We'll have to see really what plays out. Thank you for joining us. Hour number one, Larry Connors USA here on June 11, 2026. We are here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air like we are right now, you can watch the program. Well, how do you do that? I'm glad you asked. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter. Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And everything we do later goes up as a podcast, video and audio, available at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and again, Larry Connors USA Facebook. Oh, by the way, there's more indication that more folks are now using not just their Alexa speaker to listen to our program, nor their cell phone using our app, but they're doing it through their TV. You can have your TV, your smart TV, open up to News Talk STL and hear everything we've got on at that moment. Keep that in mind. And again, reminding you that your phone is your radio. Wherever you are in the world, you open up that app for News Talk STL, you'll hear the programming that's on the air right now, which would be Larry Connors USA or any other programs. And we have many great, solid programs for you. Outstanding hosts. And we book powerful guests on each and every program. Larry Connors USA offers you news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more information than you have right now when you began the hour. I promise you that. In our next hour, Jasmine Crockett, Texas, of course, a MICDS grad. I'm sure they really like that idea. It's still on her resume. It's not going to go away. She's justifying the stabbing that took place at that track meet, where yesterday the young man who carried out the stabbing was convicted, sentenced to 35 years. It is a tragedy. It's two kids at a track meet, but she wants to make it a racial issue. It's two teenagers kind of getting a little pushy with each other. No real threats made until suddenly a knife is pulled and another boy is dead. Two families wrecked by that. Two lives changed forever. One dead. The other, 35 years in prison, might get out in half that amount of time. And also later in this hour, Marjorie Taylor Greene, former Georgia congresswoman, claiming that Donald Trump is a traitor. Why? Why? You'll want to hear the reasoning. That'll be coming up later. And later in this hour, our story behind the story. It was on this date, 1963, that Governor George Wallace stood in the doorway at the University of Alabama, refusing to let two black students, a male and a female, enter to register. And the Deputy Attorney General was delivering an order direct from the President and the Attorney General. We will take you back to that date and our story behind the story. Now back to the issues we're facing with Iran. The latest from Trey Yanks.
Overnight, the United States unleashed powerful strikes against the Iranian regime. CENTCOM says that Iranian military surveillance systems, along with communication systems and air defense sites across Iran, were hit. Speaking from the Situation Room, President Trump told Fox News that 49 Tomahawk missiles hit locations as close to 40 miles from the capital of Tehran. Positions were also targeted along the southwestern part of Iran. The president described the strikes as violent and vicious. Also, President Trump says top Iranian officials called him directly, asking him to stop the bombing. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth spoke before the strikes began.
Instead, they're going to have tap, tap, tap bombs dropping on key facilities in Iran from the United States of America. And that's not because we want to restart anything we don't have to restart. It's because the War Department is prepared to set the terms to ensure that we get the kind of deal President Trump expects.
Yes, and we all expect. Bloomberg filed a news report earlier today on what Trump had stated on his social media and the issue about Karg Island.
This statement from the president just moments ago out on social media. I'll share the quote with you. The United States will be hitting Iran very hard tonight. At some point in the not too distant future, we will be taking Karg Island and other oil infrastructure points and assume total control of their oil and gas markets. Tyler Kendall, tracking the story. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, John. Well, clearly a significant threat and escalation that's been put on the table from President Trump, but also one that we've heard from the White House before. We have to keep in mind that about 90% of Iranian crude exports flow through Karg Island. And while the country does have other export terminals, none are considered to match the sort of capacity that Karg Island filters through every day. This is raising questions, though, about what this actual operation would involve, including whether that would mean American boots on the ground. We've previously heard the administration float the idea that if they had total control over the air, that may make such an operation safer actually going into Karg Island. But we're going to have to see how this actually plays out, as we know that significant risks still remain when it comes to the Strait of Hormuz, and as Iran threatens that it is only going to tighten its grip over the waterway. A statement from the IRGC overnight saying that they were going to stop all commercial shipping as they ramp up their own threats in response to the U.S.'s airstrikes overnight.
Now, I want to point something out to you. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, said, and I'm quoting, he would not put too much stock, end of quote, in President Trump's morning threat this morning to seize control of Karg Island, as in possible response to the downing of that Army helicopter this week, the Apache chopper. Johnson said, I think he's communicating directly with our adversaries over there and would not put too much stock in details of what he's telling the American people. Now, he was answering a question raised by CNN. Speaker Johnson, you should have just said, leave it to Trump and walk away. Don't basically undermine him by saying, don't put a lot of stock in what Trump has put out on social media. I do understand what he's trying to say, but I don't think he needed to move in that direction. I remind you again, that Army Apache helicopter, two men on board, they both got out safely, and the drone had lodged in their craft, sitting between the two of them. It just did not detonate. Talk about, thank you, Lord. Louisiana Senator Kennedy on Iran.
I wouldn't wait around for a promise from the religious nuts who are running Iran, because they lie like fish swim. Any promise they make about negotiating in the future, they're not going to keep. Here's whatever I'd make two final points. Whatever we're going to do, we need to do it. And number two, the deal I would make with Iran is, look, you open up the Strait of Hormuz, and I remove the blockade so your people can eat and live indoors. And if Iran took that deal, I'd come home.
Well, that might happen. I don't see Iran doing it, but the Louisiana Senator Kennedy is exactly right. They lie just as fish swim. Can't trust them at their word. Victor Davis Hanson with the Hoover Institute and Daily Signal is very direct on what he thinks Trump should be doing. That'll be coming up in our next segment. But first, the congressional investigator is focusing on Act Blue, a Democrat project collecting foreign dollars, illegally, obviously, for U.S. elections.
Foreign funds have no place in American political campaigns. American elections are for American citizens only. Ms. Wallace Jones, in 2023, I sent you this letter with five straightforward questions with a goal of confirming that foreign funds are not in our elections and that Act Blue had adequate fraud prevention measures in place. You replied a month later with a four-page letter describing your fraud prevention policies and procedures that you had in place at Act Blue. But according to the New York Times, your response to this committee may have been false and misleading. Ms. Wallace Jones, when you signed this letter to me, did you believe that this letter was false and misleading?
On the advice of my counsel, I respectfully declined to answer this question pursuant to my Fifth Amendment rights under the Constitution.
Ms. Wallace Jones, before you sent this letter, did you believe, was it brought to your attention that this letter that you sent me was false and misleading?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer the question pursuant to my Fifth Amendment rights under the Constitution.
All right. They're going to invoke the Fifth under the Constitution, and she's entitled to do that. But this is a game they play, and this is like mob bosses. But again, that is your right. You do not say anything to incriminate yourself. So I can defend her right to do it, but of course I still have a lot of questions about what Act Blue was doing. We do believe, according to investigators, they were taking money from foreign sources and influencing U.S. elections, which would be illegal. You were listening to Wisconsin Congressman Steele questioning Act Blue CEO Regina Wallace. We continue.
Ms. Wallace Jones, before you sent this letter, did you believe, was it brought to your attention that this letter that you sent me was false and misleading?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer the question pursuant to my Fifth Amendment rights under the Constitution.
Well, I think it's important for everybody here to know that according to the New York Times, you've been aware for quite a while that the response you made was likely false or misleading. Did you ever consider correcting the record for this committee when it was brought to your attention that your letter to me was false and misleading?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer the question pursuant to the attorney-client privilege and my Fifth Amendment rights under the Constitution.
All right, we got it. We got it, and you're entitled to it. But it reaches a point being ridiculous in using that response. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I have heard some say that if you answer one question, then that opens up the door for you have to answer the others. So you have to declare the Fifth Amendment every time. Again, I'm not an attorney. I haven't had a chance to re-verify it. I've heard from different attorneys that if that is true or if it's not. But this question from another member of the Congress, and it does get humorous.
I do have a series of questions for you, but I want to make sure I'm respectful. Is it Ms. Jones or Ms. Wallace Jones?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer the question pursuant to my Fifth Amendment rights under the Constitution.
Okay, wow. Okay, didn't expect expect that one.
None of us did, would we? Can you just tell us if it's Ms. or Mrs.? What do you want? I respectfully decline under the Fifth Amendment Constitution. Again, she has a right to do it. And I do not know for sure if she had answered even that question, if it would invalidate all the other times we were injected the Fifth Amendment. U.S., Mexico, and Canada hosting matches during a five-week global competition. The U.S. hosting 78 matches across 11 cities, including the final match in New Jersey, July 19th. This is the World Cup. The U.S. team will compete in its first match on Friday, playing Paraguay in L.A. Stadium. FBI Director Patel said the Joint Terrorism Task Force, partnering with 200 agencies, fully engaged. It's a heavy lift, but we're going to do everything we can to protect everyone inside our borders. I'm not so sure what they're doing in Mexico nor Canada. But he points out extremists have used major global sporting events in the past to do harm and spread their twisted ideologies. The games begin today, and as I said, the U.S. begins its game, its first game, tomorrow. We'll have to keep a close watch on that. I'm sure many will, just for the engagement, but also for the threat level. Coming up, Victor Davis Hanson on dealing with Iran and a point he wants to make. I think it's very clear. And the story behind this story, this date, 1963, Governor Wallace standing in the doorway of the University of Alabama, not allowing two black students to enter. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for a Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie. And I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Why don't we give them a list of targets and say these are going to be hit if you don't concede to surrender your uranium that is enriched, get out of the strait and let it be open, stop the subsidies to these terrorist appendages, and surrender your missile arsenal or what's left of it. Why doesn't he do that? I have a feeling he doesn't do that because he has intelligence that we don't have, because we don't have any boots on the ground or embedded reporting that Iran is in much worse shape than we think, we the public, and that there are civilians in the Iranian government, the president, some members of the parliament, that are sending signals that they're not part of the Revolutionary Guard, or they're not part of the theocracy, and they feel the people are getting more and more restive, and Trump is looking at them as a transitional government.
The very intelligent, scholarly Victor Davis Hanson, with the Hoover Institute, a think tank, and also with Daily Signal, which is a right-wing publication, but making it very clear in his mind that one thing we should do is just give them, here's a list of the targets. We're going to tell you this is what we're going to hit. And we probably have done that to some extent so you can get your civilian population out of the way if you've got them living in the midst of some of these military installations. We're not interested in killing Iranians. We're trying to destroy the regime that threatens not only the neighboring states, but the Jewish state of Israel and America and Americans anywhere in the world. Keep that in mind. You could be somewhere in Europe for summer vacation. Someone realizes you're an American, you could become a target immediately. I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm just trying to make you aware of the reality of the situation. It is frightening, no doubt about it. Once again, Victor Davis Hanson.
So we had 38 days of bombing, and then we've had 60 days of negotiations. So there isn't really an Iran war right now. We have a War Powers Act. The left is all upset and trying to stop the, quote, war. But there is no war right now. It's a waiting game. And what is the waiting game? The waiting game is that Iran feels that by giving a concession on Monday and taking it back on Tuesday and letting Hezbollah attack Israel and then telling Israel not to reply and then sending a little boat out in the strait. It can delay, advance, retreat, and Donald Trump will allow this because he is got a deadline too. Their deadline is they're losing $400 million a day in economic productivity and probably, I don't know, $2 or $3 billion in revenue.
And that's the key because that revenue was helping fund terrorists around the world. Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in the Gaza Strip, the Houthi rebels, and six or seven other terrorist groups, each trying to climb over the top of the other to be the biggest, the baddest, the meanest. And, of course, you have Iran hitting some of its neighboring Muslim nations, partly a difference in the Muslim religion, but also partly because they figure that they are too close to the USA in policy, thoughts, and future.
What is Iran doing then? It's hitting Kuwait. Why does it hit Kuwait? I suppose it has the largest Shia population in the Gulf and it wants to stir up restive opposition to the royal family. It hits the UAE because it hates the UAE. It's the most liberal, progressive, and pro-Western and anti-Iranian of all of the Gulf nations. It wants to show the Arab world that if you, like the UAE, have a detente with Israel, you're going to suffer. It hit Israel. Why did it hit Israel? It hit Israel during this so-called peace because it wants to widen the reported gulf or anger between Netanyahu and Trump and turn public opinion toward Iran a little bit. So how does it all divide? Who gives in first? Donald Trump is kind of mystifying people because he's a Jacksonian. He believes in tough deterrence. So throughout this so-called peace of now 60 days, Iran has had a lot of provocations. They've broken the peace. They've, as I said, tried to mine the harbor. They've tried to attack U.S. ships. They've attacked our allies. And we have sometimes done a little bit of retaliation, but why don't we just unload on them?
Yeah. Why don't we just go ahead and do that? Well, again, Trump really does not want to destroy the country of Iran and its people. But we're reaching a point, and we will see what happens this night. By this time tomorrow, we'll have maybe a better picture. Or then again, it could be, all right, we're going to give you still another inch to try to correct things. I did like Victor Davis Hanson's remarks at the beginning. Just give them a target list, said, here's where you're coming. Get ready. Clear your people out or put them in. And they would put Iranian citizens in the crosshairs because they do not care about their people. The California governor's race, it is still amazing how the media covers up what all is going on. Now, I'm looking at a piece from NBC's Kristen Walker. They were discussing the election and how they count the votes in California. And Breitbart editor-in-chief Alex Morrow was on there. Marlow. He is a conservative. And he said, look, we have a system that counts for 30 days, whereas in Florida and Texas, they can count all their votes in an hour. That's what we should be doing. But the leftists don't want to push that idea. They just want to do it. Marlow also pointed out that the Democrat that ends up getting the second place to run against Karen Bass and the Republican pushed aside because the votes suddenly started coming in, that night she was in tears. Nitha Ryman, her tears were streaming everywhere because she thought she's going to lose out in the California mayor's race. She was tearful. And then more of the boxes came in, and suddenly, look at this. She's not as far behind. In fact, she's not as far behind. She's not far. She is ahead of the Republican candidate. If you make election fraud legal, is it still fraud? That's being asked by an author, investigative journalist, Peter Schweitzer. if you make election fraud legal, is it still fraud? The case I want to point to is what I would call mules for Bass, for Los Angeles Mayor Bass. Do you know what they were doing? Listen to how some of them homeless describe how the Bass political team was coming to the homeless camps.
They'd say, oh, do you want to vote for Karen or Nithia? Or they just really just tell you to vote for Karen, huh?
Yeah, it was voting her, man.
Did you vote?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? For Karen Bass?
Yeah.
I'm here trying to pay you to vote?
Yes. Karen Bass. Right. Is her last name Bass?
Karen Bass, yeah. Or Nithia Raman?
Karen.
Karen? They told you to vote for Karen?
Yeah. They had to sign a little thing.
And how much they pay you?
Just like $2.
$2? To sign off on a thing to vote for her?
Yeah.
On a ballot?
Yes.
How much they pay you?
$5.
And they said, here, come and vote for these candidates?
Yes, sir.
And they told you who to vote for?
Yes.
They told you to vote for Karen Bass or Nithia Raman?
Karen Bass.
Did you vote for Karen Bass?
Yeah.
For $5?
Yeah.
They get you an optional choice, but they tell you who they want to vote for.
So they tell you who you want to vote for. So like, yo, we'll give you $2, but you got to vote for one of these people.
Well, you know, I'm a barter, man, so I got $4.
You got what?
$4.
$4?
$4.
$4?
Yeah, I don't, you know, since I'm voting your way, can I get a plate? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so $4, they're like, hey, you got to vote for one of these candidates, not Spencer. You do Karen or Nithia.
Yeah, well, it was that. That was the best one for me. I mean, that was the one I was suggested for. I don't give a fuck.
Got it. You know what I mean? And you're like, yo, give me $4 and I'll do it.
Yeah, why not?
And so they do this for everybody out here?
Yeah, they come out here all the time.
How often do they come down here?
Probably like 3 times a week.
3 times a week?
Hell yeah.
To get the ballots?
Yep.
Wow. Damn, so you know other people too that voted too?
Actually, anybody that's registered.
Yeah.
You know, half the motherfuckers down on parole or probation, but you know how it is.
Man, it's crazy. I see
where life is today, man.
What happened?
The way it is down here now.
The way it is down here. They come down here and say, I'll give you $1 if you vote for Karen Bass. This is a smart homeless man. He says, I got leverage. I don't have to take $1. They offered me $2. I said, no, I want $4. You want me to vote for her? I want $4. And he gets it. Free enterprise at work. Bribery at work. Fraud at work. As Peter Schweitzer asked, if fraud is declared legal, then can you call it illegal? All right, coming up, our story behind the story. It was this date, June 11, 1963. An infamous video of Governor Wallace standing in the floor of the doorway of the University of Alabama.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
People, keep on learning. Soldier, keep on warring.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
It was hot in Tuscaloosa this morning, very hot, nearly 100 degrees, and it was humid. And weather merely to serve to add to the tense atmosphere on the campus of the University of Alabama. This is what happened as Nicholas Katzenbach, accompanied by two federal marshals, left their car and approached Governor Wallace standing in the schoolhouse door. The two Negro students, Vivian Malone and Jimmy A. Hood, stayed in the car. The time was about 12:47 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Come right down. Just a minute.
I am the Deputy Attorney General of the United States. I am here to, accompanied by the United States Attorney for the Northern District of Alabama.
And by the Marshal.
The Northern District of Alabama. And I have with me here proclamation signed by the President of the United States, which calls upon you to cease obstruction to justice in this state. Proclamation, Governor, was signed by the President within the last hour.
So there you have the Deputy Attorney General operating under Robert Kennedy, who was the Attorney General at the time, under President John F. Kennedy, the President at the time, sending word down to Alabama Governor Wallace, you have to let these black students enter. And the National Guard had been authorized and called up in case they were going to be needed. Governor Wallace was blocking the students. It was his policy known as sometimes now called the stand in the schoolhouse door. Symbolic, blocking the doorway to Foster Auditorium to prevent the two students, Vivian Malone and James Hood, from enrolling. And he was not going to yield. He was still standing by his attitude. Segregation now, segregation forever. Governor Wallace responding to the Deputy Attorney General's order direct from the President.
As Governor and Chief Magistrate of the State of Alabama, I deem it to be my solemn obligation and duty to stand before you, representing the rights and sovereignty of this state and its peoples. The unwelcomed, unwanted, unwarranted, and force-induced intrusion upon the campus of the University of Alabama, the day of the might of the central government, offers frightful example of the oppression of the rights, privileges, and sovereignty of this state by officers of the federal government. Now, therefore, I, George C. Wallace, as governor of the state of Alabama, have by my action raised issues between the central government and the sovereign state of Alabama, which said issues should be adjudicated in the manner prescribed by the Constitution of the United States, and now being mindful of my duties and responsibilities under the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Alabama, and seeking to preserve and maintain the peace and dignity of this state and the individual freedoms of the citizens thereof, do hereby denounce and forbid this illegal and unwarranted action by the central government.
George Wallace was not stepping down. It was a show, obviously, but he was baking it in the state of Alabama, where it was widely accepted and applauded. The attitude then was segregation now, segregation forever. And the fact that they're happy in their place, they have their place, we have our place. That was the prevailing attitude throughout much of the South, not just Alabama. But this was a flashpoint. You heard Governor Wallace's response. Deputy Attorney General Katzenbach, made this response.
I take it from that statement that you are going to stand in that door and that you are not going to carry out the orders of this court, and that you are going to resist us from doing so. Is that correct?
I stand upon the statement.
Stand upon that statement. Governor, I'm not interested in a show. I don't know what the purpose of the show is. I am interested in the orders of these courts being enforced. That is my only responsibility here. I ask you once more, the choice is yours. There is no choice that the United States government has in this but to see that the lawful orders of its court are enforced. The consequences of your stand must rest with you. The choice is yours. I would ask you once again to responsibly step aside. And if you do not, I'm going to assure you that the orders of those courts will be enforced. Two students who simply seek an education on this campus are presently on the campus. They have a right to be here, protected by that court order. They have a right to register here. It is a simple problem, scarcely worth this kind of attention, in my judgment. And those students who remain on this campus, they will register today. They will go to school tomorrow, and they will go to school at this university, at this summer session. The university has indicated its willingness to accept them. From the outset, Governor, all of us have known that the final chapter of this would be the admission of these students. I ask you once again to reconsider the consequences of your statement, and I'll ask you once again, will you give me the assurance that you'll step aside and peacefully do your duty? Very well. Students will remain on the campus.
And at that point, Deputy Attorney General Nicholas Katzenbach walked away, leaving George Wallace still standing in front of a podium he had erected, surrounded by Alabama State Police and police officers in Tuscaloosa, as well as university police. National Guard troops standing nearby, waiting to enforce the act if needed. Wallace was not done competing with words.
We are winning in this fight because we are awakening the American people to the dangers that we have spoken about so many times, which is so evident today, the trend toward military dictatorship in this country. We shall now return to Montgomery for the purpose of continuing this fight, this constitutional fight, because we are winning. We shall continue to work for a better Alabama, for all the people of this state, both white and Negro. And it is my prayer that God above shall bless all the people of this state, both white and black.
So he was still refusing to move, but at that point, the Alabama National Guard, which had been federalized, and General Henry V. Graham of the Alabama National Guard commanded Wallace to step aside, which he did. Now, even before these students showed up on campus in 1963, a black student, female, had been enrolled at the university back in the late 50s. So, yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
This, then, is the moment when Governor George Wallace of Alabama walked away from the schoolhouse door.
Well, I would just like to say that I'm glad that the registration is over and everything is over now. I think we can get down to studying. This is our main purpose here, and I'm glad that it has all been over now, and all we have to do now is get down, go get our books, and start studying. That's all.
Well, I'd like to say that at this time, this is our first and final press conference, and we'd like to say that we are very happy to note that our registration has taken place without incident, and we hope that we will be able to get on to our main purpose for being here, and that is to get an education. And this is our final statement.
You were listening then to Vivian Malone and James Hood, the two students on this date, 1963, that did successfully register for classes after the stand in the schoolhouse door presentation by Governor George Wallace. Federalized national troops intervening and eventually got them to enter and they enrolled. And make note of this, in 1965, Vivian Malone became the first black student to graduate from the University of Alabama. James Hood did transfer to another university shortly after initially enrolling in the University of Alabama, but returned decades later, ultimately earning a doctorate from the University of Alabama in 1997. But as I said earlier, these were not the first two black students on the campus of the University of Alabama. In 1956, Authorine Lucy was the first African-American to enroll at the university. And there was not a big thing made as far as the registrar was considered, but there were a lot of threats against her, her life, her family. Some rioting had broken out. She attended classes for only 3 days. She was suspended and eventually expelled. Decades later, in 1988, the university overturned her expulsion, and she returned to earn a master's degree in education in 1991. But she was already had enrolled in the university in 1956, years before this date of 1963 we've been talking about. You could tell how the events were unfolding and changing in the South when you started seeing universities in the South accept and actively work to recruit and draft black athletes, particularly for football. John Mitchell transferred from Eastern Arizona Junior College, started all 24 games as a defensive end. He played for the Alabama Crimson Tide from 1970 to 1971. So in 1971, years after the standoff in the doorway with George Wallace in 1963, in 1971, John Mitchell took the field as the program's first African-American varsity football player. He also became Alabama's first black team captain, first black assistant coach. Wilbur Jackson, a running back from Ozark, Alabama, played his varsity years from 71 to 73. And in fact, he's credited with helping Alabama win back-to-back SEC titles, went on to be drafted in the first round of the 1974 NFL draft. And when you saw football colleges recognizing just because of their color doesn't mean they can't play, and we want them if they're that qualified. This was not a DEI program at that point. This was, can they excel what we want them to excel on the field and in academics, but particularly for sports because it brought in so much money. There were whites that stayed away from the game, said they would never go to another Alabama game because a black player was on the field. But soon there were more than one or two. And a lot of that happened under Coach Bear Bryant, considered to be one of the greatest football coaches of all time. Obviously best known as the head coach of the University of Alabama, the Alabama Crimson Tide. He was there from 58, before blacks were playing, and through 82, when they were playing, 25 years. 6 national championships, 13 conference championships, and he loved all of his players. He made no distinction on their color nor race. He played them to win the game. If they could provide what he needed on the field, they were in play. And that was probably the real straw breaking segregation in Southern university schools. Regardless of what the person's color was, if they could play on the field and deliver, they wanted them for their team to win the titles I just listed for you by Bear Bryant. It was obviously, yes, times were a-changing. Fascinating story, right? Every 6 o'clock hour, we close out with a story behind the story. Been doing it since before the first of the year, and I know many of you like them because I hear from you. And I always try to come up with some solid ones. Sometimes we have a little more personal. Sometimes stories I've been involved in directly. But even historically, the story behind the story, and we keep you fascinated with it. So the story behind the story tomorrow, June 12th. It was 1966, June 12th, the Miranda versus Arizona Supreme Court decision. This is where the Miranda ruling first surfaced, that you must be advised of your rights. That's tomorrow's story behind the story. Our second hour is yet to come. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.